Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's up, Gym Lords? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. My name is Bree. I will be your host today, and I am here with Marcus from Pivot Boxing Academy in Philadelphia. What's up, Marcus? How are you today?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing pretty well. Just enjoying my morning. How are you?
Yes, absolutely. I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for taking the time to join us. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All righty. So let's get right into the details here. What made you want to own your own facility? How did you get started?
Well, I actually been in boxing my whole life. On both sides of my family, they were boxers. My uncle was a fighter. My father was a fighter. Even my own mother has a background in boxing. So boxing was just something I couldn't avoid. So pretty much I grew up in boxing, started competing. And as I got older, I ran into some health issues. Ended up getting an autoimmune disease. So from there, I wasn't able to compete how I used to. So what I did was I just got in another lane. I started helping, started training some amateur fighters. Just passing along what I know. I didn't want to completely give up on the sport. And then as I started to grow in the boxing game, I started to develop pro fighters. I started managing fighters with my father. And our brand just got huge to the point where we needed our own gym. Mm-hmm. So pretty much what we did was we actually ended up getting it was actually a storage unit before it was a gym, not too far from where I grew up. I'm actually right in the middle of the neighborhood that I grew up. And we actually just opened a gym from there, and we've been rolling since.
Awesome. All right. So it's something that was always a part of your life and just kind of happened organically, basically staying involved with boxing and just wanting to provide for other people along the way. So awesome. Now within the business currently, what does your business model look like? How do you structure things? Are we doing group classes, semi-privates, one-on-ones? How does that all work?
Well, thankfully, we have a great team at our gym, so we do a little bit of everything. We actually have kids classes on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and we break them down into three separate age groups. So the youngest we take is 5 to 8 years old. That's from 4 to 5 p.m. And then we have 9 to 12 from 5 to 6 p.m. And then 13-year-olds to 17-year-olds from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We do that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's actually probably the most popular classes that we have. And a lot of our amateur stable comes from them classes. We develop them gradually. And then as they continue to progress and then we feel like they're ready, we put them on to the next phase, which is they get their own trainer and they get some more like individual training. We also do one-on-one classes. We have three coaches, myself, my father, and then we have Coach Efren as well. We do one-on-one classes that you could book through the website. You could pick your day, your time through there, and then the pricing and everything will be available on the website. And it's just everything's really organized on there. We also have a Sunday group class. We take men and women. That's a really popular class as well, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And we mix together some strength and conditioning along with some regular boxing training. So that's pretty much what we do. We do a little bit of everything.
Awesome. Okay. And then are there any other additional services within the business that you provide, whether that be nutrition coaching or accountability or anything of that nature, or are we just sticking to training mostly?
Well, we had that at one point. We actually fell off a little bit with the nutrition thing. We actually have somebody that that's in our gym that has like a master's degree in like nutrition and everything. So we're gonna actually start working very close with him. He actually helps out some of the pros with their dieting and making sure that they cut weight properly and things like that. So we definitely gonna be working close with him and see if we can actually incorporate that into our business. For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great for an additional service for your clients and then also another stream of revenue for the business. And right. So, you know, that helps on both ends of things, getting the clients better results, and then also creating that second stream of revenue for the business itself. So definitely a good direction to be moving in there. So now, as far as your client base goes, how many clients are you currently serving across the programs that you're offering within the facility?
Well, it's actually pretty popular. So I don't have like an exact number, but me myself, with I usually have, because some of the clients I train actually compete as well. So if I had to put it all together, throughout the week, I probably have at least, me myself, I probably train about 25 people throughout the week by myself. Now there's the other coaches have their own clientele, and they're pretty popular as well. So it's definitely a lot moving. If I had to give you like a guesstimation of a total clientele that comes into the gym, I would say we would train around like, excluding just a regular member, we probably train at least 45 people that we rotate throughout the week with one-on-one training. Are you talking about like overall members too?
Yeah, just in general, how many members or how many people are you serving within your facility as a whole?
Oh, okay. Well, we actually have, the last time I checked, we had 205 members. That usually fluctuates, especially with the new year coming up. Things get a little bit slower around like the beginning of January. And then with the rise with COVID cases, a lot of people are discouraged to come. But I think I had checked like 2 weeks ago and we had 205. And usually when it hits February, March, it gets a little bit higher, especially with the kids' classes. So we should expect to have at least 220 to 225 by the time we get into March.
Got it. Okay. And now, as far as your membership structure goes, how are your clients or members paying for their services? Is it on a monthly basis? Are they doing packages? Is there some type of agreement there, 6 months, 12 months? What does that look like? How do you structure the payment for memberships?
Well, we actually have like, I wish I had the paper in front of me, but we actually give them options. So there's people that prefer to pay month to month. We actually have a 3 month package, a six month package, and then there's people that pay for the entire year. Mm-hmm. We give them different options. Now the regular package that a lot of people like to go towards, they like to go towards the monthly package. Now that's for adults, 16 and over. We charge $110 to sign up, and then in the months afterwards is only $55. Now with the kids is actually, it's $90 to sign up, and it's $45 a month afterwards. The 3 month package is $105. So like they get a small discount, and then it just continues to get lower afterwards. I don't have the actual numbers in front of me. I usually have my dad deal with the monthly packages, but a lot of people usually go towards a monthly thing and they just go about it from there.
Got it. Okay. So $110, and then did you say $50 a month after that?
$55
a month after that. Okay. And is that for like group training classes?
No, that's actually just to have access to the gym.
Okay. So that's like an open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Right. So from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., that gives you access to the gym. You can come in whenever. And a lot of people like to do solo workouts anyway, you know. So they usually gravitate towards that. Now, if they want training, that's a separate fee. So depending on who the coach is that you would like to hire, they can structure some type of deal outside of the membership, then they'll work on that. But if they just want to do one-on-one training, then it's usually $30 for the hour.
$30 for the hour?
Yeah, $30 for.
Wow, that's so low.
Yeah, it is. We actually could. In Philadelphia, there's boxing gyms like on every corner, so obviously, you wanna give great training, and then you wanna give it at a price that others is not. So it's pretty much like we've seen others train do it for one-on-one training for $60 for the hour. We've seen $75, things like that. We see memberships for 200 a month, and that would just give them access to the gym and stuff like that. So we actually try to stand out from the competitors in terms of price range, and it works out, you know. And we've been doing well.
Got it. Okay, so I hear this a lot now, as far as competing with other facilities in the area, whether that be other gyms that are similar to yours or big box facilities that have those lower monthly rates. Now, it's hard to get into a position where you're providing the best level of service, the best value to the clients, but charging the least. So, you know, it kind of gets to a point where it becomes like a race to zero. You know, it's like, how low can we go for our membership, but how much value can we provide? And then it gets to a point where it doesn't necessarily make sense anymore. You know, and typically people, things that cost more money, people put more value behind, right? So it's always, it's interesting to me from a gym owner perspective when, and I get that you want to be competitive with the other gyms in the area. But typically people put more value behind something that does cost more.
Right.
So are you planning on staying there as far as your price point goes, or would you ever think about raising the price? You know, even if it means that you have less members, but you can provide a higher level of service to those people, therefore charge more, get them better results, focus more of your time and attention to a lower amount of people, but still kind of have the same revenue as far as the gym itself goes. Have you guys ever considered kind of doing that, or are you always looking to keep those prices super low?
Well, actually we've been lower. So so kids classes were actually 40 a month, and adults classes were actually 45 at one point. So we actually have raised not that much, but we've actually increased our prices a few times. And obviously, as with our lease that we have at the gym, as the rent goes up a certain percentage after a few months, we'll have to I wouldn't say unfortunately, because it's not going to be a massive increase, but we'll have to increase as it goes along. But like I said, it's actually been lower. So this isn't like the first price we ever had. We were actually lower, and we've increased slowly, and it's been working out, you know. And the reason why, even with our low prices, we still have been able to get some great clientele is because we have a great reputation in the community. Mm-hmm. We do a lot for. We actually in a very like impoverished neighborhood that we're in, and we actually do a lot. We do a lot of food giveaways. We actually have like community centers that give us food, and then a lot of people that aren't even gym members come in and take food from us. We give away clothes for the kids, and because we've been so great to the community, even though people and you're right, a lot of people do gravitate more towards the more expensive things because they think it's a better quality. But luckily, because we have a great reputation in the community, and we're good to the people, they're actually pretty good to us. So,
yeah, absolutely. Excuse me. I mean, industry average for group classes per month is 125, and average for an hour personal training session is around $100 an hour. So to hear $30, I'm just thinking about all of the, all of the room for increased revenue in that area, you know? I mean, and that's just average, you know, there are people charging more than that. There are people charging less, but typically I don't hear anything less than $60 an hour for a private training session, you know? So that's why I was like, kind of taken aback by that, because that's super, super low. So now as far as acquiring new clients goes or new members, getting the word out there about your facility, as far as the marketing side goes, how are you doing that?
Well, we use social media a lot. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we have some pro fighters that have a great following. We have some amateurs that are actually pretty famous on social media outlets like TikTok and stuff like that. And they help us spread the word. We stay in touch with the social media as well. We make like little reels and little things that are appealing to our followers and stuff like that. And they'll repost and their followers will see it and they'll follow us through there. So social media is our pretty much our strongest asset when it comes to marketing our gym and like that. And it's surprising how much people find our gym through like Google. They'd be like boxing gym near me. And because we have so many like great reviews, we actually have a 5-star rating on Google and we have like a lot of good reviews. And we usually are at the top of the list every time people look in the Philadelphia area for boxing gyms and people just find us through there. So Google, social media, and how we just stay in touch with our followers and how our followers just spread the word. And we haven't been on social media that long and we're about to close in on 2,000 followers, I believe. And we don't even have that many posts. So we were definitely getting the word around pretty well through social media.
Awesome. Okay. So mostly organic posts then, no type of paid advertising through Facebook, Instagram, Google?
We did some, when we first opened the gym, we did some paid advertising through Instagram. So it was like you'll be scrolling through like a story or something like that and the advertising will pop up. We've done things like that. And when you're scrolling through your timeline, you'll see an ad for our boxing gym through there. We have a lot of public schools within our area too. Mm-hmm. And my mom actually works in one of them. So we did some advertising like throughout the schools and stuff like that. Like when you walk into the office and you'll see like a bulletin board, you'll see our name on there. We have our advertising and lawyers' offices as well around here. So little small things like that. But like I said, social media is our strongest
thing. Okay. Now, big time of year right now for planning for the new year, looking at goals, looking at what our main focuses are within the business, potentially some growth. So what is the main focus for you within the business for 2022? What are our goals for this year?
Our goals is just to continue developing our fighters. Because as we continue to develop our fighters and potential clients see how well these fighters are doing, they actually want their kids to be a part of that, especially if they want them kids just to learn how to defend themselves. If they see a bunch of kids in there that could fight, they want their kids to learn how to fight. So they'll bring their kids to us and we just continue to grow from there. So my focus is just to continue to develop our fighters and continue to do shows. We actually do amateur shows at our gym as well. Our gym is pretty spacious and we could fit over 300 people in our gym for the competitions and stuff like that. So continue and we generate a lot of revenue through our amateur show. We actually have done three. We've done three last year and all of them were pretty successful, sold out every time. And we would sell food there as well. We sell Pivot Boxing merchandise. This is just one of a lot that we have. And mm-hmm. like I said, we generate a lot of revenue and that does a lot for our business through there. Right. So continue to develop our fighters and get the word out there through our hard work and just continue to do shows and get us more popular as we continue to move along.
Right. Absolutely. So more so growing the competitive side of things. Focusing most of your time and attention to that, really getting the word out there about what you do on that side of things and growing from there.
Right. Because in Philly, like I said, there's a boxing gym on every corner in Philly. Mm-hmm. Like I could literally go down like 5 blocks and pass by like 3 or 4 boxing gyms within those 5 blocks. So so clients is like, finding a boxing gym is not a difficult thing for them. So what stands out to them pretty much in Philadelphia is, all right, where are the good fighters at? You know what I'm saying? So because they want to be around good fighters. They don't want to be around fighters that don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So as we continue to develop our fighters and our reputation grows in a positive way, a lot of people are going to gravitate towards us because they want to be around the good fighters. If they see our fighters winning national tournaments and winning these small shows and just racking up belts and getting our names out there again, getting published in news articles and things like that, they're going to want to come towards us because they want to be in that same position that we're in.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm solely focusing on that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So now one thing that I always love to ask every gym owner that I speak with is if you could provide a piece of advice for someone who is considering opening their own facility, what would that be?
Well, I would say get a good support system around you. Because the difficulty I had when I first started with the gym was trying to do everything by myself. It's not gonna happen. Especially as we got clients so quickly, it was impossible to do everything by myself. So on top of developing fighters, I also had to develop coaches. You know what I mean?
Right.
I had to get them to the point where they would be USA Boxing certified. So if I was too occupied with something, somebody would be able to cover for me. Thankfully, I have a great stepmother. My father is actually a co-owner with me, and they help us a lot, especially with the business side while I focus on the boxing things. Mm-hmm. And I just have great coaches that are able to pick up where I lack. So I would say just have a great support system around you. And we actually opened a month before the first lockdown ever happened. We opened on February 1st of 2020. And then I believe the lockdown happened in March.
Yeah.
So thankfully, because I had a great support system, there were people that were actually paying their dues when they weren't even allowed to come into the gym. So just be good to the people that you're servicing. And typically, they'll be good to you. You know what I mean? Just have a great support system around you. You're not going to be able to do it by yourself. You're only one person. And just be good. Just be loyal. Be loyal to the people that are around you. And that's what's worked for me, just being a good person, providing a great service every time, and developing a great, strong system around me.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That support system is huge because in the beginning, especially in the beginning, there are so many things that you have to do as a gym owner and so many different hats that you have to wear. And, you know, constantly trying to keep up with all of them can be very exhausting and it doesn't allow you to direct your attention fully in any one area. So having that support system, those other people that can help out, take some of those things off of your plate is huge. So definitely great piece of advice there.
Right. And then, and everybody benefits from it. We actually have a lot of people that's making some pretty good money just off the strength of helping us out. So I have a lot of people that come to me and they actually, because like I said, we are in an impoverished neighborhood. So not everybody's doing well financially over here, unfortunately. So if I'm able to teach them a skill that's able to put some money in their pocket, I feel good about myself. And then on top of that, he's finding a way to stay out of the streets. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's something that they could really make. Maybe they could open their own gym one day based off of the things that I'm teaching them. You know what I mean? So everybody benefits at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Giving back to the community. So that's amazing.
Right.
So now, as we start to wrap up here, where can the listeners find you on social media?
Oh, well, you can find us at Pivot Boxing Academy. A lot of people get our name confused. Actually, 2T. So PIVOTT Boxing Academy. That's our social media, and that's all across on Facebook and Instagram. We post a lot. My personal account is at Mark, M-A-R-K dot Mazuma, M-A-Z-U-M-A. And that's where I really go between those two social media accounts right there. And we're pretty active. We respond right away.
Perfect. All righty. So Marcus from Pivot Boxing Academy in Philadelphia, thank you so much for taking the time today. We appreciate you and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yes, of course. And to all of the listeners out there, make sure that you subscribe so that you'll be updated on future episodes of the show. In the meantime, keep killing it out there, and we will catch you on the flip side. Gym Lords, out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and joining us on the show is Miss Kelly Adkison of Curves, coming to you from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Kelly, what's going on? How are you today?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
I am glad to hear that, and I'm excited to have you here. Kelly, I've done this interview time and time again, but I have not had the chance to interview anyone with Curves yet. And so I'm excited, genuinely, selfishly, for myself to ask a number of questions, but I think a lot of other people will derive some serious value from this and your experience. We don't have to do too much work explaining what Curves is. It's become a national brand
right
at this point. But Kelly, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the brand and what that looks like for you for the last number of years that you've been involved.
Okay. In 1998, I was working I am an occupational therapist, working in Grand Junction, Colorado, and knowing that I was looking for a workout for myself. Curves was really pretty new, and it had been franchised at that point for only a couple of years. And I heard a radio ad, went to check it out, joined Curves. Shortly after that, the founders came to Denver to do some franchising, networking, try to get more people interested. And as I learned it was a franchise, and my healthcare background, the system itself, I really believed was such a perfect system for so many different people and needs, including a lot of the people I served in rehab, which was older adults. And sometimes, you know, post injury or illness would be a perfect place, along with young women. I was younger by quite a bit then. And I loved the challenge of the workout. So I looked into the information, determined that I wanted to move back to the Front Range of Colorado, where there were no Curves open yet. And the process of that was late 1998. We opened our first location in January of 1999. And just celebrated 23 years of being a franchise gym owner.
Yeah. And so a lot of years have gone into this. And so here we are, right? You've made it through a pandemic. You've made it through two decades as a gym owner. How has that time been for you? What's been your overall experience from the ownership seat of running a gym?
It has been... wow. A journey, I think, is the way I would describe it. It has been a journey. In the beginning, Curves was, we got in it quite early. And so getting in it that early meant that not a lot of people knew about it. There weren't a lot of Curves at first. We had a slow go for about a year, year and a half. So much so that we weren't sure we had made the right decision. And then around the end of 2000, Curves took off like a rocket in the United States and just started opening so many different locations. And we joined right in. We had six locations by the around 2006, 2007. So those first 5-6 years, we were working hard. We were opening another grand opening. And 08, the economic troubles in 08 was probably the first experience of, oh, that hurt a little. And then the other thing that has happened around that same time, the end of the aught years, was gyms went crazy. In Colorado Springs, when we opened our first location in 99, there was one female gym in the whole city that was kind of large. And then there were a couple of Bally's and one or two YMCA's. There just wasn't a whole lot of gym out there. We were super unique. Curves really started the boutique gym craze, small lots of them in the city, in your neighborhood. You don't have to drive far.
Right.
So, you know, Curves just went nutty. I mean, there were so many of these things opening. I think, I want to be correct, but I'm pretty sure somewhere in that late aught years, maybe 08, Curves said they had 10,000 Curves in the United States. And then they started into the worldwide experience. So they opened in Europe, they opened in Asia. Japan is a big Curves area. So the first 10 years were go, 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 run, 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 train lots of staff, always up to something. And the original founders of Curves sold to a what do you call it? Oh, sorry.
Like an investment group, right?
Yeah, an investment corporation. Curves is very personal. Every Curves I visited during those first 10 years had their own, everyone had the same circuit, but everyone had their own style. You know, they might have a motivational wall. I went to one in Maui, that was great. Had a motivational wall that was painted in an ocean scene. And then we did some certain things for rewarding members and recognizing members for commitment and stuff like that. And this this corporation, when they bought, didn't like that. So they laid down the law and, you know, they asked all, not asked, insisted that we all paint everything exactly the same color and take down anything that was really personal and, you know, make it franchisee like McDonald's so that you walk
uniform
into a Curves
across the board.
Yeah, it's just the same. You don't walk into a Curves and see something different. You walk into a Curves and that lasted for a few years. And then they realized their error and Soars said, oh, well, let's make it more personal to you and your area. So those were rough years. And it's been purchased from them. It was bought by Japan, by Curves Japan. They tried some stuff that I think works well if you're working with women in Japan who are, this is going to sound bad, who are easily controlled by their male bosses. So they had some various training stuff that they really wanted Curves owners to do that was, I don't know. You know, we're independent women. Most of us who own Curves are women. Most of us are pretty independent. We want to do things. We don't want somebody pulling us around by the scruff of the neck. And it felt that way when Japan owned. I think to be truthful, a lot of us just sort of said, well, you can say those things, but I own this business and I'll do what I want.
Yeah. I think that's sort of the double-edged sword of franchises in general. And it's both examples that you just talked about. Yes, there are all kinds of great opportunity where they will help you figure out how to run your business. They'll help you set your gym up. They'll help you do X, Y, and Z to get off the ground. But a lot of cases, it's more handcuffing than opportunity presenting. And whether that's, we want you to all look the same or we want you to all operate the same, there is a factor of local demographics, different marketplaces, different buying patterns that needs to be accounted for in any business.
Yes.
And so, Kelly, talk to us a little bit about the business as it stands now, right? We've made it through 18 months of craziness in our industry. What is, if you were to put a label on the business model, we talk in our industry about personal training studios, CrossFit boxes, different group training things. What is the service that you guys provide at Curves? Is this more in the kind of open gym, come at your own time sort of category?
It is. So it really is you described it perfectly. It's a circuit training system. You can arrive anytime you want to. There is no set times where classes begin or end. It is essentially a 30-minute total body workout. the combination is always aerobic and strength training. What I personally love about it is that the system is hydraulic. And so a fit, I don't want to say young, but that's fair, I guess, young, fit person can get as challenging a workout as they decide they want to put into it. Working out directly next to my oldest member, who currently is 95, who will do machines at a pace that a 95-year-old can do. But it's, so yes, it's a come and go when you want to. Services, we're, it's hard because this has always been a thing with curves. It's like, well, every curves is supposed to be the same, but is every curves the same? Our curves, I think, have survived a lot of rough times because we are heavy on service. We take good information on intake, lots of health information. If somebody has health challenges, my OT background can come in handy, but I don't treat, obviously. I can just help you figure out, you know, that shoulder of yours and that machine over there, are those really a good blend? What should we do? How should we modify? But we do very good intake. We provide services. Your membership gets you monthly body fat analysis, measurements, weight, if you want it. So we really help people, or we try to help people with accountability if weight loss is on their agenda. Curves is a fitness center, but it's also a weight loss center. And I think it's begun, not begun to, I think it developed a reputation early on, sadly, to be for old fat ladies. The sad thing is it's for all ladies, doesn't matter what your situation is, but because weight loss center got tagged onto it, that information kind of stuck to us. But we do teach nutrition. I am a certified nutritional advisor. I teach nutrition classes. We carry supplements, a really, really high quality supplement brand. So we do lots of stuff that is all based on health maintenance, really, fitness and nutrition, motivation, lots of coaching. Even though the ladies are all doing the same workout, they're not, they're doing their workout. And we try to make sure that, you know, they're getting what they should for themselves while everyone still is using the same equipment on the same circuit.
Yeah. And really a couple of different services. If the meat and potatoes of it is, of course, the fitness, right?
Yes.
The circuit style, open gym, general membership sort of training.
Right.
But you guys layer on these other things, right? Correct. Motivation and accountability. Nutrition coaching, that we know this sort of triangle of necessity to get people actual results,
right,
is imperative. People will pay for it. People will really invest in themselves if it's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
For you guys, obviously this is a somewhat niche market, right? It's women only.
Correct.
Talk to us a little bit about the marketing that goes into getting people in your doors in the first place before a sales conversation even takes place. How are you generating leads to then turn into members down the line?
Okay. So let's see, how do we start this conversation? Currently the marketing dollars are very small. Because our gym membership has dropped. The pandemic took out 50% of my membership. I'll tell you more about how and why all that went down. Some of it's pandemic, some of it was a choice that I made. But we have to pay as franchise, a ad fund, if you will, along with royalties. We pay an ad fund fee to Curves International. Because they do use that money, for not very much, to be fair and honest. We get a little digital stuff once in a while. And outside of that, over the years, when the corporation was larger, we had a presence on television. The presence on the internet got bigger and bigger as the internet got bigger and bigger from the late 90s. So anyway, we have to pay that. Over the past 20 plus years, we've done anything and everything that exists in marketing. We have done local radio. We have done local TV. We have done you know, the bridal expos, we've done the health expos, the senior expos, we've had bus benches, yard signs, print ad like crazy. We've tried, you know, the local newspaper here is kind of horrible and very, very expensive. So that one has kind of been out. But, you know, there's local newspapers and coupon books. I mean, if it exists, the back of register receipts at Safeway, right? If it exists as a possible marketing option, we have probably tried it. And I don't know, even though we ask every single person, how did you hear about Curves? Why did you come in here? I don't know that anything works any better. Actually, what works the very best is referrals. Word of mouth. My friend goes here. I saw that she's losing weight. She seems stronger. Referrals. And so we ask members internally, that's part of our member motivation program, is not only motivate you to succeed and do well, but also would you please consider taking this flyer to your friends or to your Bible study or to your quilt group or to your, you know, homeschooling, whatever thing.
So 100%. And referrals are, it's not exclusive to fitness even. Referrals, if any business in the world could grow unlimited amounts on referrals alone, absolutely. Those leads are free. They know who we are. They like us and they trust us. And they typically are a higher quality client in the long run, right? They have accountability just based on the person that referred them there. This third party nature really, really helps. I mean, but the downside, and to your point, the reason marketing exists at all is because we don't have any control over referrals. We may get 20, 30, 1 month. We may get two the next month or none. And so we supplement with all of these other things. You mentioned a whole lot of different resources, local radio, local newspaper, backs of receipts, coupon books, whoever else has thought of it. You guys have attempted it at some point. And the idea is growth, right?
Right.
If we could get everything that we needed from referrals, we wouldn't have to do that. But necessary evil of running a business, it's usually not enough. And so here we are, 2022, buying patterns have changed a little bit. People invest a little bit less into newspapers, into local radio, and typically have gone a little bit more digital. Have you guys ventured into the social media world of 2022?
So the current, and I would say 5 years-ish of history, that as the Curves franchise numbers have reduced, and the Curves corporate dollars for that, for marketing has reduced. Almost everything that we are instructed by the corporation to do is social media. So yes.
To do it on your own?
Yes. Well,
I see.
Yes. So we, Curves does have a website, and we have a website. And the website is adequate. It's everything. I mean, honestly, if the word Facebook came out of my corporate manager's mouth one more time, I might do horrible things. Everything is Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. And we do it and we maintain that Facebook, but I don't see it being highly effective. I don't even know that I see it being sort of effective. It may have something, I mean, 5 years ago we said it probably has something to do with our demographic, which tends to be, again, I think it's wrong because a 21-year-old is going to get a great workout at Curves. But our demographic does tend to be beyond child rearing because we don't do we don't do any kind of babysitting. So our demographic seems to be 45 and above. I think my mean member age right now when we last checked was really right around the 60, 65. So those
which may be on Facebook, it may not be, but is this for you guys? Is this organic? We're posting content, we're posting pictures, we're posting videos, or is this we're investing ad spend and looking for a significant return on it?
A little bit of both. Okay. We user generated content is supposed to is the big huge push at the moment, you know, get your members posting and make sure you're posting right. all that. And then of course we do boost ads. Every dime right now is precious. And so trying to figure out where to throw those things. And because we're small, you know, I don't have at this point, the kind of joke is on me. I am the coach. I am the receptionist. I am the janitor. I am the marketer. I am HR. We do have a few employees, so I am HR. My sister and I share bookkeeping. You know, I pay bills and she does. We do so much for so little right now.
Yeah.
10 years ago, my income was appropriate to have left my job as an occupational therapist. Currently, that is very untrue. And yet I've committed to this. I've thought about going back to healthcare. To be real, boy, in the last 2 years, I am grateful that I did not do that.
Fair.
But I would make a lot more money if I went back to healthcare.
That's a really interesting point, Kelly, because you're not alone in that boat. I talk to a whole lot of gym owners, and whether or not they have experience assigning dollars to advertising or whatever other marketing ventures they're in, dollars are precious. This is a small business. It wouldn't make sense for me to say, hey, Kelly, go spend 20 grand this month on Facebook ads and we'll build this business back up, because that's just not realistic.
Right.
We need to keep in mind every dollar going out, we have to have some sort of expected ROI coming back in.
Right.
And we don't have the luxury of just spending money for brand awareness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And so here we are. I mean, we know coming out of the pandemic, we know we need to rebuild this business. We know we need to get people back in the doors. And so paint us a picture of the future. Where do you want to see your Curves locations here in the short term and in the long term?
Oh boy. You know, I would love to see us double our membership. Last year, so the pandemic, thank God we were in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and not in New York City.
That's where I lived, Kelly.
Oh, geez. Well,
yeah,
we were closed, 100% closed, locked down, could not be open for 12 weeks, starting on, you know, St. Patrick's Day, 2020. And our governor, allowed businesses to reopen under all kinds of rules and whatever. But sure. We reopened in June and, you know, boy, it was an adventure. Cleaning and reservations to a system that never needed reservations, so we could manage how many people were there and all that. And so 2020 was a wicked hard year, but we were open. We were twice as big before the pandemic as compared to now, and I did not lose any paying. Okay, not any, that's unfair. I lost a very small percentage of paying members. One of the things that seemed like a great idea and then turned out to be a disaster, and then we sucked it up and dealt with it for a decade, was insurance-based memberships via Silver Sneakers and Medicare. And those people, and any gym owner who takes Silver Sneakers should fully understand this. You get money for that person only when they physically get their booty to your gym. Yes.
Yeah.
So no visits, no payment. And obviously during the pandemic, because of the, you know, older nature of some of our ladies, they were fearful and didn't want to get out. We'd get a few visits, who knows how many, every month was a little bit different, what's going on. And that was pandemic, but that was also pre-pandemic. A Silver Sneakers member who goes on vacation for 3 months all summer long, we get $0. Trying to budget your world way before the pandemic. I mean, back when I had still had 400 or 500 members, a lot of that money was maybe coming and maybe not. You know, in January when the winter weather in Colorado is a little iffy, a lot less money. In the spring, when things get better, maybe more money. So the to shorten the story, at the end of 2020, we decided we had to know what our income was. There just was, it wasn't fair to be consistently guessing. And so we told the members we will no longer be accepting these memberships. And that was costly.
That's a hard decision to make.
Yeah, it was costly to the number of members on my rolls. But to be completely honest, it was not that costly to my income, because a good number of them stayed and said, I value this place enough, I will actually pay you. And thank goodness for that. But at the same time, right before pandemic and right now, my income wasn't that impressive in 2018 and 19 because things were going downhill with curves. So now I'm about the same place, you know, we're 4 years later and we're going, what's going on? So what do we want the future to look like? Of course, we'd like the gym to grow. Of course, I would like to need more staff. We are kind of in a spinning our wheels. How are we going to do this? 2020, once we took out the silver sneakers and got the ones that stayed, for all of 21, I was positive, actually, for the first time in a long time, positive growth.
Okay.
Not a lot, maybe 26 or 30, which sounds to most people like, oh God, that's not positive, but
that's it was a far positive. Better trend than in the red.
Yeah. And the truth is, prior to that, because of these silver sneakers management mess, you know, these people weren't coming. And so you were using so much time. The other thing Curves does as a service is, you know, when you don't come, we actually reach out, we call, we email, we try to come on.
Yeah.
And so there's been some time that we haven't had to spend as much on the begging. So again, a decision I'm not sorry I made, but trying to regrow from here is our true challenge.
Step one, right?
2021 was hold your own. If we can get through this year without actually losing, you know, hemorrhaging more members and maybe get a few to join, but how do you encourage people to join a gym? You know, our gyms are clean, but gyms aren't clean. People think gyms are germy. So are you going to go to a gym and join a gym in the middle of a pandemic? And especially when now everybody can get silver sneakers online for free. They can get YMCA classes if they're silver sneakers online. They can go, you can sign up for online. My daughter's doing Peloton. She was a gym rat, lived in the gym. And when she got locked down in Boston, which was a long lockdown, they just signed up for Peloton. And she's like, I'm never going back to the gym.
Yep.
This is great.
That's the real battle in our industry right now is, to your point, you are sick of hearing Facebook from the powers that be. We're sick of hearing the word pivot, but the reality is that's the nature. How do we adjust with the times? This is the marketplace that we are in.
Yep.
How do we reinvent? How do we figure out a way to compete? And there is still a huge, huge portion of our population that value in-person training. They value getting out of their home.
Absolutely.
They value the community and the camaraderie of going to a gym like yours. And so the industry is far from dead. And I think that you'll see the comeback happening here. You made it through 2020. You made it through 2021. Let's see where 2022 rolls. And go from there. Kelly,
yeah,
this has been a bunch of fun, and you and I could certainly talk for hours and hours about this. But as we approach the end of our time here, I want to give you a chance to kind of shout out where people can learn a little bit more about your specific clubs. Is there social media? Is there a website designated for you?
We actually are on Facebook. Two locations. Curves Constitution is one. That's just the street it's on. And Curves Pikes Peak is the other one. Those are the two Facebook sites. We do have, again, you can go to curves.com, which is the main, internet site, website. And you can put into that site our, just put in Colorado Springs, and it will pop up our location and other information connecting to our website that way. For most people, that's the easiest because curves.com is just simple.
Yep. That is perfect. Kelly, I truly enjoy the opportunity to kind of dig through business owners' mindsets and see what makes them tick and why they do what they do. I really appreciate your time and your contribution here. And we'll have to get you back on a year from now and see where this club takes you.
How's that see sound? What has happened, yeah.
That's right.
Sounds good.
Well, like I said, thank you to everyone who tuned in today. Thank you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the industry, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Jim Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Jim Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
Welcome to the Jim Lords podcast. We talk to gym owners who are in the trenches, doing work, changing lives in their area. I'm your host, Dominic. Today, I'm here with my guest from F45 in the Washington State area, owner of four locations, Mr. John Bankson. How are you doing today?
Good, Dominic. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Always an interesting day, getting to talk to different people about different models. So let's hop into it. You are a multi-location franchisee of F45. So let's just get a little background, little history. You came from a different world outside of fitness. We're looking for the right thing to invest in. So first question for me is going to be like, why F45? What stood out to you? And how did you know you wanted to open multiple locations right away?
Sure. When I was in the corporate world, I got fat after I got out of the army. It kind of happens. Got lazy, and I realized when I turned 40, I needed to do something different. So I found something called CrossFit, and I loved it. I did it for about 6 years. And I started hating corporate life and was trying to figure out what I want to do. And my first inclination was, I'm going to open a CrossFit box. And, I was in my mid-40s at the time, and hurt my shoulder doing an overhead squat. And realized, man, I can't do this the rest of my life. My body's too broken from all the stuff I put it through. And so, I've been searching for CrossFit stuff online. And of course, Facebook's algorithm is really good about finding out what you like. And so they presented me this ad for something called F45. Never heard of it before. Didn't have any in the Washington State. In fact, there were only 16 in the United States at the time. And I saw, I'll go check that out. Maybe that's something. It kind of looks CrossFit-y. So I checked it out and I fell in love with the concept. I went and worked out when I was down in Vegas at a conference, and I love the workout. So I called the franchise guy up and we started talking, and that's how the journey started. And yeah, I knew coming out of corporate America, I didn't want to just open up one location. I knew that for this to be worth my time and investment, I need to do multiple locations. That's kind of how I ended up getting into F45. You know, I love the community aspect. That's why I live at CrossFit too. Made all my friends there. That's, you know, every friend I've outside of work was made in the CrossFit box. And that same kind of community transcends into F45. And you still, I love that high intensity workout. And that, you know, I think that comes from me having been, you know, in the military. I just kind of like that hard work and in and out and quick, get it in, get it done.
Awesome. Awesome. So you had, having the business background, we talk to a lot of people, especially, and you can use whatever nomenclature you want, but you know, the most common is the micro gym, right? Anything that's from 500 to, I don't know, call it 5,000-6,000 square feet, and you know, not a big open access model. A lot of them come from the world of fitness consumer to trainer to, you know, I'm going to open my own thing, you know, myself included. We talked about my backstory there, but coming from the business world, from corporate sales, knowing, you know, knowing with what financials look like, definitely can skew the way it looks, but saying like, hey, you know, if I need this to be a business that's going to potentially make this much profit so I can have this income, I need to have things in place. I need to have org charts. I need to have operators that aren't me. I need to be able to not be an absentee, but to not have the whole thing depend on my being there, you know, 12 hours a day, every day, which is a very different perspective. And it seems like F45 really embraces coming from that direction versus the fitness consumer trainer side, or it seems to be the majority of the owners that I've come across. You've been in conferences and know other people. Do you find that that's generally where the people that gravitate towards F45 ownership are?
I would say it's still split. If you go in Australia, most of the owners in Australia are like a typical CrossFit box owner here in the States, where it's a personal trainer that opened up a gym. But when they came to the United States, it kind of shifted where they were out. About 50% were people like me, and 50% were single studio operators. And, you know, from a P&L point of view, it's a big difference, because if you're the guy in there coaching, you know, 20 to 40 classes a week, and you're doing a lot of the work, it really lowers your payroll costs a lot and changes that equation as far as what break even looks like. So from when I'm looking at it from multi-studio, you know, having one with my overhead of like somebody like me, didn't pencil out. And I know two made it tight. So, you know, there's this point where you have to get to in order for the P&L to make sense, from a business owner point of view. And that's why I have multiple locations, because I know the more locations I have and the better I can scale, the better the economies, the better the P&L will look from spreading that overhead out and have efficiencies throughout the organization.
Absolutely. And with that, you started with three, you've since purchased a fourth. Where do you find, I know three of your locations are close together, the biggest efficiencies, the places where you can take advantage of economies and scale? Is it reciprocity in coaching and management? Is it spreading marketing over if you have concentrated areas? What are the places where you find you get to leverage that the most?
Sure. So we kind of got our organization structured into three different silos. Well, they work together, but there's three categories. We have our sales and marketing, we have operations, and we have athletics. And there's lots of, and we do that because we know that as we grow and scale, there's things that in those each of those categories that you can spread across all three locations and do them better if you're doing them at a higher level. So for example, our marketing. We do the marketing for all four locations collectively. You know, each one has individual campaigns, but because we can see how it works in each market, we can leverage that knowledge and apply that across the board. It doesn't take a whole lot to replicate a campaign in Facebook, for example, one location, another location. So that's a big time savings and efficiency. And not having a studio manager or somebody in the studio having to pay attention to that, they can focus then on the customer and the member. And for, when it comes like the athletics, you know, we do these F45 challenges all the time throughout the year. And when I first opened up, each studio was kind of doing their own thing, and it was a little bit different, but it's taking a lot of time. So now we have I have a director of athletics, and she sets the standard, like, this is what we're going to do. Here's all the different stuff we're doing during each of the challenges. So from the stuff where we do have flexibility in programming, it has to be coordinated and planned. And somebody has to, and it, I think it helps from an efficiency point of view, has somebody quarterback that queen between all the studios. Because, you know, when I've talked to some of the student studio owners, they'll coach maybe 10 classes a week because they have all this other stuff they have to do. My studio manager can coach 17 to 20 classes a week because they don't have to worry about all that overhead. And that has an impact on payroll and how many trainers we have to bring in. For like operations, it's like counting beans and bullets, right? It's what, you know, how are you getting the toilet paper? How are you getting the paper towels? Where's the shampoo and the soap coming from? I mean, all that stuff sounds like super easy, but it's, you know, you got to pay attention. And there's, you know, from a P&L point of view, watching those, the supply costs is important, but also making sure that it's available. And that, so, you know, in the middle of the day, like, ooh, boy, we're out of toilet paper and I got a member in there and I got to go run to Costco or Safeway real quick, because for my next class, you know, it's just interruptive to delivering that service. And, you know, we want the people in the studio, our employees in the studio, focused on delivering an amazing experience to our members and not worrying about all this stuff that it takes, that's required to run a business and to deliver all that stuff that is behind the scenes.
Awesome, man. So it sounds like the logistics side of it, you know, a lot of that sounds like things that you had a handle of coming from, you know, the corporate sales background, having examined a lot of these things and knowing right off the bat, you know, even though you hadn't executed them in a fitness setting, like, hey, these are small things that look like they're small, but when they add up are not only going to affect the bottom line in dollars, but with attention, with people not having highest and best use of their time and making sure that somebody who's, you know, who may be in a high value dollar per hour role, right, isn't doing something, you know, that somebody who's lower down or could be automated or who could be systematized, and just really looking for, you know, the different levers you can pull, the different tweaks you can make as far as those aspects of the business, and just watching them multiply, you know, saving $200 a month per club is now saving $800 a month across. And then, you know, you can go horizontally and vertically with it.
Correct. Yeah. And then on top of that too, like, you know, it's, you know, in a single studio environment, who's watching the metrics? Who's watching the KPIs? Is it the chicken watching the hen house? Or the fox watching the hen house? Because, you know, is the student manager watching the numbers that he's responsible for, or somebody else watching it? So from an overhead point of view, we provide a dashboard to our students every week, like, hey, here's your number, here's your KPIs, here's where you're working, here's where it's not working, and we can dive into. And so being able to provide that that oversight and feedback loop that's independent of the studio, I think, is important too. That's a good thing for scale for us.
Fantastic. So I've got a million questions for you and only so much time. So I'm going to try to go, you know, biggest bang that I can here for the time we have. You had three studios and opened those up pre-COVID. COVID hit, smacked everybody around good, but you survived that. And then going on about a little over a year ago, opportunity came up to purchase an existing studio. What does that decision-making process look like for you? How did the opportunity have to present to the degree that you can disclose? And how did you make a decision like, hey, if three is good, four might be better, pros and cons? What did that process look like for you?
Yeah, so we had just opened our third studio 2 months before the first shutdown happened. And we were planning on opening up more. Of course, the pandemic kind of put a stop to all those plans. And, you know, we came out of that first shutdown, and the guy in Puyallup was looking to sell his location for various reasons. And so, yeah, it sounds like an opportunity. Why not? You know, and so we started looking at it. Of course, this is back when we thought things were getting back to normal in, you know, summer of 21, or was it summer of 2020. And, you know, so we started working through the merger acquisition type of paperwork and negotiations. So it took forever. because, you know, there was SB loans that we assumed from him. There's all kinds of complex and just things were slow. By the time the deal was done, we had been shut down again. And so it was one of those, we were at that point, like, well, do we continue doing this? And we were so far down the path, like, well, this shutdown can't last that long. And then, yeah, it's kind of logical. Like, let's just do it. And we're almost out of this. And this is February 21. And so we did it. And then, of course, you know, it's been another year of restrictions and craziness since then. So it's been a tough time to acquire. But, you know, there's a saying that when there's challenges and obstacles, there's opportunity. And so that's how I saw it. It's like there's an opportunity. And, you know, obviously we didn't buy at the right time, you know, but maybe in 2 years we'll say, no, we did buy at the right time because, you know, we were able to survive and ride it out. It's been a rough storm, COVID up here, but, you know, not from like the illness point of view, but more for gyms, for the government restrictions and what they've done to make it really difficult to do business.
Yeah. Well, I think at our time of recording here, March 10th, 2022, it sounds like the good news is at least restrictions are going to be going up, taken away for the most part in the Seattle, in the Washington area in a couple of days.
Tomorrow night at midnight. Yeah, we're excited. Yeah,
I can imagine you would be. So hopefully that goes pretty well. I want to kind of work with the rest of the time we have here, just talking about a couple of things, because you've had the benefit of three, now four locations. Let's talk about some of the best practices and things that have worked well for you in different areas. So, you know, top of mind for almost all gym owners is always like the top of the funnel, getting leads in, customer acquisition. What have you found generally has worked the best for you for attracting people, at least getting that, you know, the basic name, email, phone number, hand raise?
Yep. Yeah, it's been a moving target as far as what works. And when we first opened 3 years ago, nobody knew what F45 was. So what worked back then, it works now, it's different. People now know what F45 is in the United States. There's about 600 in the United States now. So it's more of a common name. Still not as well known as something like CrossFit or Orange Theory, but it is known. So what we find works is not just having one source of leads. You know, I would say a couple of years ago, before iOS 14, Facebook, Instagram ads, you just add more money and you got more leads. It's not as simple as that anymore. It's a lot more complicated. And because of that, we've steered away from like a major focus on Facebook, Instagram ads to more of a diverse, multi-channel source of leads. So referrals is big for us. We run a rewards program for our members, which involves, you know, referrals and all kinds of stuff to drive, ultimately to drive referrals in, but also reward our members for doing different stuff. But the big thing behind that is referrals. And this program allows us to track it. And we started that in August or September of last year. And we've had over 400 referrals in that since then. And of those referrals, I believe, I had to pull the numbers up, but I think it was 150, around 150 actually came in for a couple of classes. And I don't have the metrics in front of me of how many of those converted members, but we do convert quite a few to members. So it's been a very good, low cost source of leads. And then, you know, B2B guerrilla marketing has really been successful too. So getting out to local businesses, apartment buildings, hanging out flyers around town in the neighborhoods within walking distance of the studio has been a big thing too. Those are the things that work well. And then following up with leads that are old leads. I was listening, I think it was another Gym Lords podcast when I was getting prepped for this, and somebody was mentioning about how 60% of old members will return if you market to them. And it, you know, and we're finding that too. So if we market, you know, we have a leads database of 12,000 emails for our four studios right now, because we've been marketing for so long. And you know, you pay for these leads and sometimes they don't ever come in, not then, but so we continually market to people on a regular basis until they tell us to stop. And you know, we try to overwhelm people, but that's what's been working, is not relying on just one thing. And we're constantly looking for new ways and changes in the market too. You know, we experimented with different social media platforms as it evolved. We experimented with Nextdoor for a while, didn't work. You know, it was interesting, didn't work. Google My Business, which is now Google Business Profile, that works pretty well too. So we've been working on that. We try to focus on SEO to drive, because we, a lot of people come in from searching gyms near me on Google. You know, we're looking at new channels such as advertising in through mobile apps, which is a not something most people do. Mm-hmm. Also looked at new platforms like TikTok, which we have an ad account, but we haven't really launched the ad campaigns there yet. So we're constantly looking for new ways to get leads in, because, you know, lead flow is the lifeblood of a gym.
Yeah, for sure. And I give you kudos for being open-minded and not being stuck in, oh, this one thing works best, and I'm just gonna ride it till the wheels fall off, because inevitably the wheels will fall off any single channel. And Whenever you're dependent on that, you are vulnerable, to say the least. So one of the other things that in talking to a couple of F45 owners, I know that there's some opportunity there with marketing either guidance or managed by corporate. Is that something that you've participated in, or have you mostly just kept it close to home to be a little bit more in control, in touch with it? How's that worked out for you?
Yeah, so I've done, when we bought our third franchise location, one of the requirements of franchise agreement was to use their marketing services for the first 4 months. And so we've done that. It worked okay, but it wasn't great. And I've used, I don't know, 5 or 6 different ad agencies, and my experience has always been the same. They charge too much, and the results are not what you think they're supposed to be. They're not what they tell you. And so because of that, you know, unfortunately, I had a lot of downtime during the COVID when we were shut down. So I just, you know, I'm a fairly intelligent guy. I just went on YouTube and learned how to do Facebook and Google marketing. It's not rocket science. And I ended up getting my CPL, my cost per lead, was way lower than I was getting from my previous marketing companies. And so we've been doing it that way for a while. And we'll occasionally get some consultant in or somebody in to take a look at what we're doing, to make sure that, hey, why don't you try this, or I'll change this up. So, because, you know, it's never good just do things on your own without external feedback to figure out what you're doing wrong. So I know I'm not perfect at it, but what I do know is what we've been able to do in-house has been better than what we've been able to hire out, which is just sounds odd. And I don't know if that's just the gym marketing machines that are out there. You know, I've talked to gym owners about what works, what doesn't work from other ad agencies, and everybody's experience is almost always the same. I charge too much, and the lead cost is too high, and I don't get the lead flow I'm expecting.
That sounds pretty standard across the industry. And I don't say that to disparage anybody. It just seems that gym owners, or in some cases, I guess, that have managers or whatever, that if somebody in-house can own the skill of working in these different manager programs, being able to do a lot of the operational stuff, and especially for somebody like you with multiple locations, because it's a little tougher for the single gym owner to be able to trial and error, A/B test as many things. So you do get some advantage there. It's almost impossible for a single location gym owner to expect that somebody who is giving them boilerplate, just kind of standard copy paste things without having a huge amount of testing and trial and error is going to be able to replicate something that works in North Dakota, Seattle, right, Miami, you know, Dallas. It's just, it's easy to promise it and it's really hard to deliver it. And I think COVID took out a lot of marketing agencies that weren't so good that they kept their clients, you know, running and humming to the best degree. And the Facebook, the iOS 14 and Facebook Instagram combination, that, you know, it kind of made it a little tougher. So there are a couple, you know, here and there that I think can deliver, but I don't think there's anything that compares to having the information, having the e-tests, having the ability to control it internally, because nobody's going to watch out for you better than you either.
That's what it came down to. Yeah.
So yeah, it's an unfortunate experience, but it isn't unique in that market. And owning that skill is huge, and just being able to stay on top of it. So with that being said, you are getting people through the door. You know, you haven't lost any locations through this. Sales process, front end offers. Most of the F45s that I've spoken to have been, you know, free classes or LBO, low barrier offer entry, things like that. Again, for you, having had the opportunity to run these through four locations, have you had any more success with one than the other? Or is it, again, just variety and cycling through?
For us, we found the paid trial or paid intro offer works the best for various reasons. You know, we get about, it varies from studio, but we'll get 10 to 30 paid trials per week at our studios. And that's just from lead flow from our marketing and whatnot. We have basically two main offers for that. It's 2 weeks for $45 or 4 weeks for $99. So it's the LBO. That's why we go. We've done the free trials in the past, and what you get, at least in the Seattle market, you get a bunch of trial hoppers is what we call them. People come in, waste your time on your sales process with no intention of ever buying. And they don't have that commitment. They're not ready buyers. People who are willing to put up, you know, $50 to $100 to come and check you out, they're serious. They're not at that buying cycle stage. They're already further along than somebody that's going in for a free trial. And, you know, if we'll get some people who don't convert into a paid trial, we'll reach out to them and offer a free class. Hey, come check it out, 45. You know, just to see what it's like. And that's kind of a back pocket offer we offer to try to unstick a lead that won't pay for a trial. And then we'll convert them into a paid trial.
Got it. So more paid trials than not is the direction that you've found success in. And again, I always, you know, it's always your mileage may vary. Consult your doctor, your legal professional, whatever, but that's what you've seen work. The only other question I had on that was, how in-depth are your new member intros, consults, sales process, whatever you call it, your local nomenclature, how far do you go into a process with somebody before they sign up for paid trial, free trial, whatever it may be?
So a lot of times, well, for them to start the paid trial, a lot of times they just buy it online and then they reach out to us. Or sometimes it's, you know, they reach out, ask questions. We answer a few questions. Maybe it's via text, maybe it's via email, maybe it's on the phone. Kind of depends on the person. And we talk about their goals. But once they're in for the paid trial, then, you know, we know they're serious. That's when we kick in the sales process of like trying to convert them into a member, because there's no obligation after a trial. We don't trick them into auto rolling into membership. They got to cancel. You know, it's they're there for, to check it out and see if it's for them, right? And so we run them through an intro process. We talk about goals. We talk about, we get them on a body scanner. We set up, you know, a tracking program for them for that trial period, and try to get them to build to form the right habits to show up. Because, you know, I think most gym owners know that if people don't show up, they're going to quit. And I was listening, you know, this is the one different thing about studios than the big box gyms. I was listening to another Gym Lords podcast the other day where somebody was saying they had 1,000 members and only 30% of them ever showed up. I'm like, I don't know how those people, those 70% that pay that every month, even if it's only $30, what those big box gyms charge, don't ever look at the credit card and say, why am I paying that? I'm not, you know. But we know if people don't show up, they quit. That's what happens.
I don't have the statistic in front of me, but I remember being really shocked. I think it was a Wall Street Journal article that I was reading recently about the percentage of people who don't look at their credit card statements at all. It was over 50%.
That's crazy.
I couldn't nail down the exact number, but it's pretty high. Yeah. One of the other things that with what you just said, a lot of people who may be peripherally familiar with F45 may have seen, you know, the style workouts or the, you know, the commercials, or know that they're are some circuits and there are, you know, TVs demonstrating movements, things like that. But when it comes to adherence, when it comes to onboarding, F45 also leverages a high amount of technology through an app with nutrition, with, you know, the ability to order meals, recipes, things like that. Have you found that there's anything trackable where you can see engagement with an app versus retention versus interaction with, you know, humans in the process?
you know, we used to not talk about the app a whole lot, but once we started talking about the app, you're like, oh, that's so cool. Because now in the app, you put your BMR and your body metrics in, and it's going to calculate your recipes for your daily, what your caloric intake should be based off your goals. So it customizes the recipes down to the gram or ounce of ingredient you need to put in to get your meals and the exact calories you need, which is pretty interesting. And when we talk about people about that, they're like, this is really neat. This is very, very cool. But now, how do we track it? There's no way we can track it, unfortunately. So we don't know if that's, you know, successful or not. But the feedback we get is positive when we talk about it with people.
It probably doesn't hurt in all realities. No. You know, statistically, yeah. I bet you it's probably better than not having it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. What I've heard about it seems to be, you know, very, very powerful, very robust. And, mm-hmm. you know, people who don't embrace technology certainly will eventually be left behind, I think, when in any business, and fitness isn't an exception there. So I think the last thing we're going to have much time to spend on here is kind of the bane of the existence of, well, any employer in the country right now, but fitness isn't an exception. I hear all the time how hard it is for people to staff one facility. So you're here with four facilities.
Yep.
And I'm sure it's not easy for you. So again, I'm going to ask you what things, I'm sure you put poles in the water everywhere you can, but where have you found your best coaches, best employees, and have you had many struggles, or, you know, have you been relatively successful with your efforts?
It's a constant struggle hiring. Any business will tell you that, you know, people will make or break your business, and you got to be able to, you know, we're always hiring. Even when our bench is full, we're still hiring, because invariably something's going to happen, right? And where we find trainers, well, you know, typical places we use Indeed, Craigslist. We have an app called Career Plug that we use for our applicant tracking system. And, it's been tough. You know, we ask for referrals from people. So we're constantly scouring for trainers. It's hard. You know, one interesting thing about all of my managers all started out as trainers though. So we've hired managers in the past from outside. But what we've found is, you know, hire the trainers, find the right people, and then groom them and raise them up into these higher levels. That's been really good and successful. We're short trainers right now. We were just talking about it yesterday. We were having to shuffle trainers between studios, which is one of the advantages of having multiple studios. When one studio loses a trainer and we can't hire a replacement right away, we can tap another studio and say, hey, Coach Jessen, can you go over to the Queen Anne studio and coach a class? Yeah, sure, coach, put me in. And so that is an advantage of multiple studios.
Couple follow-ups there. One, have you had any or much success with homegrown talent as far as coaches go?
Yes, we've hired members and helped them get into get certified and then become coaches. And we've had some good luck with that. You know, you talk to other 45 owners, they'll tell you their best coaches were members at one point in time.
For sure. And does F45 have, this isn't something that I think that I've asked before, a corporate training program? Is it in-house? How is that managed, and how much is delegated to the gym versus through the corporate structure?
We can use any nationally certified credential program. Well, not any, but there's a list of credential programs that we can use now. Some, you know, the difficult ones you'd be familiar with. And then we have some called F45 Academy, which is a training portal for our sales team and our trainers. And they are launching a master fitness trainer program that's F45 specific. They're trying to get it to become, you know, recognized as a national or international certificate for a personal trainer. But that's still further down the road. So they are working on completely in-house training program. And right now what they offer is more about, this is how you deliver 45, and some of the master fitness stuff goes into the more of the PT specific and the group fitness training specific stuff that is important for them, that knowledge base to have, to that way it could be a NASM or ACE or any other cert bodies out there.
Got it. So last one, I'm gonna bounce off you here on the staffing thing, because you are on the advertising, you know, Facebook, Google ad savvy side of things as an owner, I have occasionally had, you know, different franchises, different gym concepts say that they've actually run their own, you know, Facebook or Google ads sponsored looking for trainers there. Is that an avenue you've ever gone down?
We've done that before and we've had pretty poor results on that. And you know, it could be market-based, but the way the ads work is it's super easy for somebody to click, yeah, I'm interested. And it's so hard to pre-qualify them. So most of the time you are getting people who want to be a trainer, but have no business being a trainer because they're, you know, they're up late drinking or whatever, like, ooh, that'd be cool, I'll do that. And they click the button and then you got to go chase them down. So you're not getting somebody who has intention. You know, they're not intentionally searching for a job. They're getting served up the ad because Facebook thinks they're a fit. So it's different.
Got it. Okay. So I'm going to go a little freestyle for the last couple minutes that we have here. I'm going to open it up for you. You've been in this now for a few years. You've kind of lived through, hopefully, the biggest, baddest part of a pandemic, multiple locations, got a lot of stuff going on here. If there was, you know, any overarching theme or lesson, something that you wish you could have told yourself a few years ago or would share with our audience, is there anything that stands out that's been the most valuable for you as an owner?
Yeah, I think probably the most valuable thing that I, you know, learned probably is around tracking and measuring has been huge. You know, just thinking something is doing well, you know, it's easy to watch the P&L on your QuickBooks, but there's so much more data in the business that you can manage and track that will be future indicators of success, or also if you can analyze it on a regular recurring basis, can help you pinpoint holes or gaps in the business that can make things more efficient from tracking what is your member utilization of the memberships to, you know, what's my lead to trial conversion ratio or my trial to member ratio. There's, you know, what percentage of my membership base has the membership suspended right now? What percentage of my members have canceled in the last month? Having a knowledge and look at the trends and see if there's something going off the tracks has, you know, that's something we've changed in the last year. We're watching that stuff on a regular recurring basis. We're reviewing it internally with the team so that not just I know the data points, but the entire team knows what those data points are. Because it's important to track that stuff without, you know, as one of my mentors has told me, if you can't manage something, you can't measure it. So I measure whatever I can. I measure things that I know that are indicators to business success. And that's been the huge thing for me.
Yeah, that was the phrase that was going through my head the whole time was, you know, what gets measured gets managed. And anything outside of that is just, you might as well be might as well have your head in the sand, I think. So I love it. I love hearing it. And it's no surprise that coming from a more business focused background that you have a handle on that and a better grasp. But if you don't know, there's never any excuse. You don't need an MBA. You don't need a finance degree to get in there and get familiar with the numbers, because even if you don't count them, they still count. So
What I do know is the Kevin Costner adage, if you build it, they will come. That's not true in the gym industry.
There's certainly no field of dreams. If you build it and market the hell out of it and have a good offer and good sales and good fulfillment, maybe you'll do okay.
That's right.
No guarantees. It's a fickle industry. So
for sure.
We are just about out of time here, John. Before I let you go, any website, social media, anywhere, anything that you want to shout out there to our audience?
I mean, I love F45 Training. You can always go to F45Training.com. You can find our studios in Washington. Just search and find a studio near me. But also have lots of friends that own F45 Studios. And I think F45 is an amazing fitness platform. And I think it's the future.
And if you happen to be in the Seattle area and you're a great trainer or want to be a great trainer, reach out to John because he's looking for you.
Right. And we promote trainers. You know, we are looking to grow. We are going to add more than 4 studios. And so we do know as we hire more managers, we want to find trainers who want to grow and become managers. So that's what we're looking for.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you being on here, sir. I look forward to checking in on you in the future and and seeing you grow and see where things go for you up there. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
All right, thanks, Dominic. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And to everyone out there listening, as always, we appreciate you spending part of your day with us. We hope you found value and inspiration in this episode. If you'd like to hear more, hit the subscribe button. We will notify you when new episodes drop. To everyone out there in Gym Lords Nation, keep working hard, keep changing lives. Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.